Have you ever looked for something and you can't find it? Well, we've all done that, right? But I mean, have you ever looked for something you can't find and then something happens or somebody else points out to you where it is and it was happening to be staring you in the face the whole time? I don't know why some are looking at their husbands and stuff like that. But anyway, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Corrine. We were one time, the church was riding the railroad trail from up on the Polson Summit and it comes down to Celgar. Well, I remember this one time we were riding that trail, and the reason why I point out Corrine, because I had sunglasses, and we rode the trail, we got halfway down, we had lunch and everything, we're riding again, and then all of a sudden I thought, where's my sunglasses? And I started thinking about it, and I couldn't. And I thought maybe I left them way back behind on the trail, and I was just kind of thinking in my mind where they could be. And then Corrine came along, and I said, "I think I've left my sunglasses behind." And she said, "Pastor, they're on your face. I was wearing them." And I guess I got so used to them being there, I just didn't even recognize that. But when I read this chapter, I kind of think about that sort of a thing. Because what we're going to find here is it starts out by saying that wisdom is so readily available, and yet how many do not find it? That's kind of the thing here. I also, when I read it, I think about, a lost opportunity, opportunities that are missed. Because let's just go ahead and get right into the text and see the outline here. I have three things that as far as the outline goes, to share, but three thoughts. The first one I call the draw of wisdom. The draw meaning this wisdom is crying out. It's like wisdom is personified and taking a voice and crying and calling others to come or to take wisdom. And reproving, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in scorning? And so notice that in verse number 20 and 21 again. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets." So she's crying out. This is wisdom's crying out. Wisdom's calling. It's a vocal thing, calling out and so on. And then verse 21, she cries in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates of the city. And the idea there that's, the kind of the thought that's with that is that wisdom is vocally calling out. It's not whispering. And it's in the chief concourse, the public place. In other words, so the idea there is that it's not, wisdom is not whispering in the shadows. Wisdom's not hidden somewhere in some secret order or something like that. Wisdom is out in the open and beckoning, coaxing people to listen. You see it again in chapter 8. Just turn there for a moment. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 1. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination unto my lips." Meaning that, I'm only going to tell you the truth, because wisdom or wickedness is not even something I deal in. Verse 8 says, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." And so here again, we find twice in the book of Proverbs here in just a few chapters where wisdom is crying out and calling to man to listen up, to heed, and take the wisdom that's available to us. And so You know, sometimes I really do think that even myself, we can kind of get the idea that, you know, wisdom is something that God sort of hides somewhere and it's hard to find, because when we look around, I mean, where do we get that idea? Well, I suppose because we feel like we lack it so much. We look around the world, we go, man, it seems like it's a scarcity in the world. And so it must be, you know, hidden, or it must be hard to come to, and so on. But that's not the case. God puts it right out in the open. And, you know, how many times really do we, when we go along in life, you realize that sometimes it's just the simple common sense thing that we ignore, but if we would follow it, it's really not a matter of, you know, it's not rocket science on how to navigate life, or how to overcome problems, or how to, you know, raise children, be a good husband, be a good wife. It's not really all that mysterious how to do that. Even though I understand, listen, I know we have sometimes hard time getting a handle on that. But the fact is, when we, you know, you go to the seminars and you learn things and you go, you know, those principles really are simple. The principles really are pretty common sense when you think about it. But we miss it so many times. And so here we find that God's wisdom is accessible, it's reachable, it's even calling out to us, calling out to mankind, and it's available. I think about, I don't know if I want to have you turn to all of these scriptures, but how about if you go to Psalm chapter 19? While you're turning there, I know you know this one well enough that I'll just sort of make reference to it. You remember in Romans chapter 1, while you're turning to Psalm 19, in Romans chapter 1, it tells us that the hidden things of God are made manifest, they're shown unto us. I might have to look it up for it, because if I can't get the right words to even come close to quoting it. What's it say in Romans 1? It says that, you know, that from the creation of the world, we see clearly the things of God, right? Go to Psalms 19. I'll read it for you. I ran over to Romans here. Let me get here. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And even in that, he's saying there that they're without excuse, that they have that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God showed it to them. So God's not playing hide and seek with truth. God's not playing hide and seek with wisdom. He's put it out even in the creation of the world. This is what we see in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So he says it's out in the open. The heavens declare it right before your eyes. It's visible. It's there. And it's continual. Verse 2 talks about day unto day and night unto night. And so it's visible, it's continual. In verse number 3, it's universal. He says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Creation is a universal language. That every man, every tongue, every tribe, every all peoples of the earth can look up and know that there is a God in heaven. Right? It's true. And God has put not just the knowledge of God, that's where it starts, but wisdom is out there. And he makes it available to us. So wisdom is so available, it's visible, it's vocal, it's you know, readily accessible to us. So the obvious question is then, how come mankind, let's just talk about mankind, how comes the world seems to lack so much of it? And I don't know, I'm not trying to be I don't want to get on the drum of, you know, how dumb the world is and how bad things are. But the fact of the matter is, it's not, I mean, you don't have to look very hard at all to go, wow, what a mess we're in, hey? Isn't that true? And the longer the world seems to go, and the more educated, the more sophisticated the world becomes, the more blind it is to truth. Truth is right before their eyes, and they do not see it at all. I mean, I think that's so evident to every one of us, is that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says in Romans there that, they are professing themselves wise, but they become fools. And so why is it that God has placed wisdom right there at your fingertips, but we seem to fail to grab it, or we can't see it? Well, I was thinking about the blindness, the spiritual blindness of man, and so many scriptures come to mind. It would take me all night to go through them with you, so I'm not going to try to do that. But right on to my second point. I said there's the draw of wisdom, that call of wisdom. But the second point is the deficiency of man. Man is deficient spiritually to see it. I kind of tempted to read a lot of verses out of John chapter 8. Let's turn there for a minute. When you read John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the Jews, and he's explaining things to them, and the whole story in there, when you read it, it's like he's talking one language and they're hearing something different. I mean, they're just not even on the same wavelength, you know? And how many of you can kind of relate to that? Sometimes you talk to somebody and they just, it doesn't seem to translate to them at all. But in John chapter number 8, is that what I said to turn to? John chapter 8, verse number 12. Let's read a little bit of this. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's kind of almost like wisdom's calling out. Wisdom is right there saying, come, listen to me, I'm right here. Jesus is on the earth and he's saying, look, I'm the light of the world. I'm here to shine truth to you. And he's the light. But they still, I mean, they were, in other words, not only like the people in Proverbs were right in the earshot of wisdom and they couldn't hear, here's people right in the presence of the light of the world and they can't see. Because if you read on, you'll see that. Verse 13, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And so he's talking to them about his Father, and they said, Who is your Father? And he said, You wouldn't know even if I said. Verse 21, Jesus said to him again, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And they said, then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he saith, said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but ye But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake unto them the Father. And like I said, I'd like to read down all the way down through verse 47. But if you read this exchange, it's like everything Jesus is saying, they don't get it. And all the way down and somewhere in there, he even says, why do you not understand my words? That's what he says to them. And they just didn't see it. He tells them about, you know, his father, and he said, the truth shall make you free in verse 32. And they answered, said, we be Abraham's seed. We are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And I remember reading that years ago, and I stopped and said, wait a minute. They said, we are never in bondage to any man. And I thought, really, the Jews? Have they, like, hardly ever been out of bondage? I mean, they were in Egypt. They were in Babylon. Now the Romans are ruling them. It's like all the time. But they just don't even... That's the way they are. They're bound and blind, and they don't even know it. And that's a pretty good picture of what the world is like. The world is blind and bound, and it doesn't even realize it. Reminds me of this. I read this illustration. It wasn't about this at all. I was reading illustrations this week, and I read about these two guys. They were duck hunting. And this doesn't really have anything to do with it, but I'll just throw it in there. They were duck hunting, and this guy, he was a really confident man, and the duck went by, and he shot it, and the duck just kept flying. And he said to this friend, he said, you just witnessed a miracle. There flies a dead duck. he's like, that duck's shot and dead, and he didn't even know it. Now, obviously he missed it, but anyway. So these guys, they're like dead ducks flying. They don't even understand anything Jesus is trying to tell them. They don't get it. And the fact is, my wife's laughing at my corny attempt at humor. The fact is this. We know this, right? What's it say in Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says that the things of God, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. If you want to see it, turn to it. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man doesn't receive them. He's blind to them. He doesn't understand them. Spiritual things. He says the natural man receives not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. And natural man is spiritually dead. And so his spiritual perception is like flatlined. He doesn't see anything. And so that's the problem why, as far as the world is concerned, men do not grasp the truth of God that's hanging right before their eyes. Because they just can't see it. They're blind to it. They don't get it. If you read on through chapter 8, you see that in chapter 9. Jesus heals a man that was blind from his birth. And you know this story well. He says, they asked him, they said, were you born blind? He said, yeah. How did you get healed? A man named Jesus. He said, this man, he didn't know his name at the time. He said, this man healed me. He just came and, you know, he healed me. And they said, well, that can't be. And they asked the parents. They said, was he your son? Yeah. Was he blind? Yeah. How does he see? Well, I don't know. And then the guy finally, he says, listen, you know, he meets Jesus later, and he knows it's Jesus now, and he said, hey, it was Jesus that healed me. And they said, well, Jesus, you know, he's a sinner. He can't heal you. And the guy's like, look, I used to be blind, and now I see. You know, what more proof do you want? And they still said, well, we don't believe it, you know. And he's like, okay. And, you know, I read that, I'm going, okay, which one of those people are really blind? The blind guy that got healed? No, he sees. The people who always saw, they're the ones that are blind. They don't see. They don't get it. In chapter 10, turn to John chapter 10, verse 24. John chapter 10, verse 24, says this: "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." As though he hadn't already, but anyway. And Jesus said, verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so the fact is just simply this. This is so clear in the Bible. The world does not see God's wisdom, although it's available, although it's for them, and yet they just can't see it. And they're blind to it. And that's why when the world does things that you go, you scratch your head and you say, wow, that's, I can't even imagine them being that foolish. But they are. And you might as well understand it. All right, so there's a blindness that is there. A man is by nature blind to the things of God, the spiritual wisdom that God wants to give. You can write down Ephesians 4, verse 17 and 18. It talks about there, their minds were darkened, and so on. But how about I have you now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to see a little bit something more in addition to just the natural blindness of man. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. I love this verse, this passage. But it says this, Paul says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here, notice what he says. He says, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world, the devil, Satan, has blinded their minds, right? So man has a twofold problem. Two strikes against him. Number one, he's naturally blind to spiritual truth. Number two, Satan is working to keep him blind. Satan wants to keep that veil over his eyes. Satan doesn't want you to see truth. Because the truth will set you free, right? So Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And so he operates to continue that blindness. He wants to obstruct any sight, lest the light of the glorious gospel will shine into them. And that's the sad truth, is that mankind has two things working against them. You know, the parable of the sower cast the seed, and when the seed fell along by the wayside, the devil comes and he snatches it up. He doesn't want the gospel to be clear. He doesn't want people. He puts in false gospels. He does all kinds of things to blind the mind, to distract people, to get people off of the mark and not to see truth. And so, that's a big part of the reason why, even though wisdom is crying out, even though wisdom is right at their fingertips, they don't grab it, they can't see it. It's because they're naturally blind and because Satan works to keep them that way. But, so what needs to happen then? Well, they need to get their spiritual eyes open. And that only comes when people are quickened and born again, made alive. The spiritual blinders are taken off when people get saved. Now, please, you're right here still in 2 Corinthians 4, and verse number 4, it says this, it says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The gospel is a light. And it is the light that can break through the blindness and the darkness that is on man. The gospel is, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." Right? And so that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we give out the gospel. We share the gospel. And Paul says here, you know, if the gospel's hid, it's not because I'm hiding it, I'm preaching it. And he goes on to say, verse number 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so, listen, I know it sounds really desperate and bad that man is blind spiritually. He can't see. The devil is working to keep him blind. But I want you to know that the gospel and the light of God is able to overcome all of that. Can I get an amen? It is. The light of God's gospel is, it has, I mean, it, the blindness, the darkness, however thick the curtain of cloud that Satan can put over man, cannot stop the shining of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to we just need to believe that, understand that, and rejoice in that, because it's true. It's true. You say, well, then how come more people don't get saved? Well, I'll show you a couple more things, but I want you to know that really, the gospel is the answer to bring light to man that's lost. And even for us as Christians, we need to stay near Christ. We need to stay close to that salvation that we have to be able to continue to see. But there are some other things that of why. And I asked the question, well, why is it? How come people, even lost people, I mean, the gospel sometimes doesn't seem to penetrate? I know it can, but you understand what I'm saying? You share the gospel and still it's like hitting a brick wall. Well, let me give you a couple things here. Go to John chapter 5. I just wanted to try to answer some of the reasons tonight why that is. John chapter 5, verse 36. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 36. I'm almost there. Here we go. He says this, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Now, again, you remember Jesus is right in the midst of these people. And so many of them are not receiving the light. They're not seeing by the light of even Christ in their midst. He is the light of the world. But he goes on to say why. He says, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." He's just telling them plainly with, you know, plain wisdom that they're not saved. They need to be saved. Verse 43, "I am come in the Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." Verse 44, I think, is a key. Notice what he says. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" So Jesus is saying throughout there that you guys don't have God's love in your heart, you don't see his wisdom, you don't believe his truth. But then this verse 44, he says, how can you, when you're so preoccupied with the approval of man? And part of what keeps them blind is that they're worried about what other people will think. They may that light starts to break through and they might start to see that Jesus is the Savior, but then all of a sudden, you know, thoughts come in and they go, well, but what will my neighbor say? What will my wife think? What will, you know, and that pressure, receiving, you know, the applause of man, that's more important to them than the favor of God. And so they throw up the sunglasses again and they block out the light. Part of why man won't see is even when the gospel is starting to break through is because of the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man causes a snare. And so that's one reason. Go to Matthew chapter 21. I'll show you another. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23 says, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? They like to ask Jesus that question. Who gave you that authority? You know, who died and made you boss, kind of a thing. And so they said, who gave you the authority? How do you do? Why do you do these things? And Jesus says this, verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. If you will tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, then neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Do you see what's going on there? They asked the question, but they already had their minds made up as to the answer. They really didn't want to even know the answer. They were just asking the question to try to throw him off. And so when he comes back at them with a question, they didn't want to answer. They said, well, we can't answer. But my point is this. You see, when man doesn't really want to know the answer, or let me put it this way, when man thinks he already knows the answer, it doesn't matter what Jesus says, they're not going to listen. You know what I mean? They already have their minds made up. They do not believe in Jesus. Whatever he said about his authority, they were not going to accept it. And Jesus knew that. He outsmarted them in this way. But my point is this. Again, man, they're blinded. The light of the gospel starts to come to them. And the fear of man keeps them in darkness. Or they're stubborn. Minds are made up. They don't want to listen even when truth starts to hit them and they go, oh boy, that sounds right, but no, I'm not going there. You know what I mean? I think men do that. They're like, yeah, I just don't even want to, I don't want to think about it. They block it out. Because they already have their minds made up. This is the way I want it to be. This is the way I want God to be this way. I want religion to be this way. And they want it on their terms. And God says, no, it's on my terms. And if you're not willing to accept God's terms, then you're going to stay in your blindness. Let's look at another reason. Revelation chapter 3. This time, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Another reason, I think a big reason why men stay blind in the face of the light of the gospel is Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. He's writing here to the church at Laodicea. And he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and what? And blind and naked. What's the reason here? I call it this, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. They're self-righteous. They said, look, we're rich, we're increased in goods, we don't have any need. And Jesus said, you don't even realize you're naked, you're blind, you're wretched and miserable. And really, this is just like the Pharisees. He said to the Pharisees, woe unto you Pharisees, hypocrites. You wash the outside of the cup and the platter. He said, you need to, first of all, wash the inside of the cup. And then he says, you blind Pharisees. They're blind because they have their outside all cleansed. They think they're fine. But he said, inwardly, you're filthy. But as long as they have their robe of self-righteousness on, and they're, you know, they just think how good they look in it, they're not going to let the light of the gospel. Because Jeff and I were talking after church today, and he was telling me about a track he used to use. I don't know, this just popped into my mind, so I'm using it. He was telling me about this track, and he said it used to say, number one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, and you're a sinner. That's where it used to start. But he said they've changed that track. Now, number one says God loves you and has a plan for your life. Well, yeah, he does. That's nice. But man who won't, first of all, face his sin is not going to care so much about God's love for them. Right? Because really, I mean, if some of you, maybe some of you are looking at me a little like, huh? Here's the thing. You'll never really appreciate what Christ has done for you until you really understand how much you needed it. Oh, Jesus died for you. That's nice. No, that's not nice. That's wonderful because, man, I was a wretched sinner. And I was on my way to hell. And I deserve to be in hell tonight. But he loved me and saved me. You see, and as long as man is in there, I'm good, I'm okay, you know, I'll make a few mistakes. Jesus can help me on the few mistakes. But I, for the most part, I got it, you know. That's the way they think. And as long as they think that way, blinders are still on. Let's go. Well, I got two more. I'll be real quick with these, all right? Let's go to all the way back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. I've been reading Jeremiah recently. And many times Jeremiah is talking to the Jews and he's warning them about the Babylonians are coming. They're going to take over and everything. And several times God says this through Jeremiah. He said, I sent prophets to you rising up early, warning you, but you would not turn away from your sin. Notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. It's a repeated thing he says all over Jeremiah. Chapter 6, verse 10, he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. He says here that, you know, basically asks the question, who shall I speak to? Because they won't hear. And the reason they won't hear is because they have no delight in hearing. I wrote it down just this way. The reason why some will not hear, they'll keep their blinders on, is simply because they hate the message of God. They don't like the message of God. They like sin. Men love darkness rather than light. And so that's part of the reason. And so, again, what I'm trying to just get across this evening is this. God has put wisdom right there in man's reach. And man's, it's beckoning to him. Man won't see it. They can't see it because they're spiritually blind, because Satan wants to keep them that way. God, though, is able to lift the blinders, give them light. But when man hates the message, they won't allow it. And then this thought came to me. I was reading this, and this is kind of a new thought, and I'll just cast it out here, let you think on it. You may agree, you may not agree with me on this, but go to Isaiah chapter 6. I've read this many times, but I was just meditating on these words. In Isaiah chapter 6, you know how Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and when he saw that light of God, he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man undone, I'm unclean. I mean, my lips are, they're unclean." And then after he gets cleansed and everything, he hears the voice in verse 8, Isaiah 6:8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not.'" Wow, that's an interesting message. "Hear, but you won't understand. See, but you can't perceive." And then this verse 10, "Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." And then he says, "How long, Lord, do you want me to do that?" He says, "Until the cities be wasted and without inhabitant, and the houses without a man." He said, you know, until there's nobody left. And I'm trying to get quickly to my point and just move along. But when I read about, he says, make their ear heavy, or their heavy? Their heart's fat and their ear heavy, is that what it is? Or the other way around. Yeah, the heart fat and their ear heavy. And I had this thought. He says, go and tell them, and God's doing something here, and we may not understand all of his purposes. He's doing something with the Jewish people. And he has a plan, and Christ is going to come. And, you know, I can look back on this, because hindsight's better than, you know, foresight, right? I can look back and I can see how God did things, and I know that Jesus had to come and had to be rejected and had to die on the cross. And God in his sovereignty, he's setting all that up from the foundation of the world. But he says, go and tell these people. And you keep telling them, until their heart is fat with the message. Their ear is filled and heavy with the message. And when they get so fat and so heavy with that message, they hear it so much, they don't even listen to it anymore. In other words, part of what sometimes is that people get so familiar with the message. They've heard it so many times. It just goes in one ear and out the other. I mean, they just don't even really tune in anymore. Because I've heard it all before. And so I thought about that and I thought, you know, well, obviously we need to share the gospel even more. We want to get, we talked about operation saturation this morning, how we want to saturate the area with the gospel. We need to do that. But sometimes people get so numb to it because it's so familiar, they just don't even pay any attention to it anymore. And that it's kind of a, I don't want to say a scary thought, but, you know, I thought about this with the kids. I thought, you know, as a parent, when I thought upon that, I thought, I need to pray that I can speak to their hearts and not just their ear. Because you know how sometimes you tell a kid, it just like, bounce, you know, you can tell, they're glazed over, they're not listening. My dad used to say, I can talk till I'm blue in the face and you don't hear me. And I know what he means when he said that now. You know, because you just talk and in their mind they're going, you know, that's just the way it is. And even when you're trying to impart truth and God's message. And that's why I want to pray and say, Lord, open their heart to hear it. Give them ears to hear, not just, you know, hitting a brick wall. That's why when Jesus would preach and he'd say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. They all had ears, didn't they? There wasn't nobody around there with no ears. They all had ears, but they were blocked. And so, let's put it to ourselves. Are we so familiar with the message that we're not listening to it anymore? I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we don't get to the point where we go, yeah, we've heard, you know. Or you might not think that, but you know, you start to hear it and your brain goes, tune out, think on something else, you know, because it's such a familiar thing. I can half listen. I don't really have to listen much. No, this is the Word of God. We need to tune our heart to it and let it in. All right, those are my thoughts on why people don't hear. All I'm going to do is finish up with what God says at the end of Proverbs. He says, wisdom has been so available. It's calling out. It's right there in the open. And if you don't grab it, then the day is going to come when he says, you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And then this is kind of frightening. He says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now those words are so unlike God in so many ways to my heart. Because God does listen. God is so patient. But I want you just to see what he's saying there. He's saying, I have put it right there. I've called and called and handed it to you and I've shined light. And if the day comes when you will not receive it, then you're sealed in your fate. In the book of Revelation, I just finished reading it, and it said, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is a liar be a liar still. Because the day comes when he's put it out there for you so long, and you didn't see it, you didn't take the opportunity, you missed it. That opportunity one day will end. And so we have to heed that. We have to realize that. I hope there's something in there tonight that will stir your heart. Because even Peter said to Christians that if we don't add to our faith all these things, he said eventually we become blind and cannot see afar off. And we don't want to get that way. I don't want to get dull of hearing, hard of heart. But let's keep our hearts tender to God. Let's stand. I know.